Except there are going to be those who believe through an eyewitness account of Jesus. Those were the people who lived in that day and time, right? But he prayed for those who wouldn't see but would believe based on their testimony. That's us. Isn't that magnificent? So not only did Jesus pray this prayer, but now he is in heaven as our high priest making intercession. He prays for us all the time, continually. And then finally, chapters 18 through 21 is the crucifixion. So that's just a real simple kind of little breakdown. Let's turn to John 1:1 because in John, like I say, it's different than the other Gospels, and it's set up to... You can't read John. You cannot turn to John 1:1 and read this without thinking of what? Genesis 1:1, okay? And so John does that intentionally, specifically. It's a setup deal. This is what is supposed to happen when we read this. So, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. John starts off, as I said, he's evangelistic, but he is also... His gospel is all about the deity of Christ. If Mark portrays Jesus as the Son of Man, John portrays Jesus as the Son of God. And the very first verse, he doesn't mince any words. He says, the Word was God. So, Jesus had no beginning. His birth in Nazareth, in Bethlehem, and then his life in Nazareth is not his beginning. He was before all of that. Okay, that's his incarnation, but that's not his beginning. And I'll never forget, as long as I live, I've got a really good friend. I was teaching a Sunday school class at Grady, and I said something along those lines. And I'm just watching. You know, every now and then you can see wheels turning. Sometimes it's like this blank stare. You know. No. But every now and then you can just see. No. But I see this happen with this lady's eyes. She's like, and goes like. So you mean when Jesus was born, that wasn't his beginning. Right. That's what I mean. Now, wait a minute. And I'm talking about her whole world exploded in that moment. I don't know what she thought before that, because I was getting taught these things from the time I was little bitty. But, you know, John 1:1 is probably one of the most contested verses in the whole New Testament, because Jehovah's Witnesses, they just changed the verse altogether. It's all over one letter. Okay? So, it says, in the beginning was the Word. If you pick up a New World Translation, this is what it says. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and we're doing good up to this point. And then it says this, and the Word was a God, with a little g. Now, there's no capitals in Greek, so we add all of that from the English. Right? But what they add an article. An indefinite article versus the definite article. So let's just think about the implications of that. The definite article is the. So if I talk about a chair, it could be any of these chairs in this room or any chair in the world, right? But if I talk about the chair, well, and I'm talking about that chair right there, right? And that is a massive, huge difference. What the JWs have done by adding that little a, and I always ask them this anytime I talk to them, I take them that verse and they read that verse for me, and then I say, oh, so you believe in a multitude of gods. Because if he is a God, then that means one among many of others. And that is what the majority of people would think about Jesus. If you take Jesus, the message of Jesus to India, that little A is what you have to get past. Because the people in India have no problem thinking of Jesus as a God, right beside all of their hundreds of thousands of gods and goddesses that they believe. No problem. Be glad to add him to the mix. But when you talk about Jesus being the God and the only God, now we have Now we've become bigots, and we've singled ourselves, narrowed ourselves right down to the fact that we actually only believe in one God. Well, that's what it says. Not only that, but it says the Word, in the beginning was the Word. Now, the Word is going to be made flesh and dwell among us here in just a few verses. So there's no way that you could read chapter 1 and not realize that the Word is Jesus. Okay? But not only does it say that there's only one God and that the Word is that one God, but it says there that the Word was with God. So now we have the Father, God, and the Son, the Word, together in the beginning. Okay? So who created the earth? Did Jesus or did the Father? The answer is yes. Right? Because that verse makes them interchangeable. The Word was there, the Father was there, the Word was the Father. Okay? So the beginnings of the teaching of the Trinity are right here. Two persons of the Trinity are right here in this first verse of John. When we read Genesis, we read about the old creation. When we read John, we read about the new creation. Just real simply, if you think about it, in the old creation, God created everything physical first, and then that old creation fell. In the new creation, the last thing that God created in the old creation was what? What did he create on the sixth day? Very last thing he created. Human beings, right? Adam, and then from Adam he made Eve, right? But in the new creation, he doesn't mess with any of this world. He starts with man. So, I need a sock. I don't want your sock. That's gross. I gotta show you this. This is the only way I can illustrate this, okay? All right, so here's the old creation, right? God begins with the earth, light, and matter, and space, and time, and all of that good stuff, right? So here's the old creation. The last thing that he creates, right down here, is man, okay? But when we come to the new creation, he turns it wrong side out, and he starts with man, and then as we come and we read all the New Testament, we get to the book of Revelation, we're going to see that he is going to make all things new, that he's actually going to create new heavens and a new earth. So, he's doing it exactly backwards. He starts with man and creates us new by putting his spirit in us, and then he's going to work backwards into a world, a new heaven and a new earth. Does that make sense? Sock is the perfect illustration of that.
Wait a second,
sock it to it. Look at, question?
Oh, no, sir.
Look there in John 1 real quick. Let me show you one more thing that's fantastic. If I had to come up with a key chapter for the book of John, I would say it is chapter 3. So once again, if you have a lost person and you want to point them to the Bible, I would encourage them to begin reading the book of John. And not only that, but if you just have a few minutes with a lost person, I'd take them to John chapter 3. Because John chapter 3, I think, is probably the heart of the New Testament gospel. And, of course, verse 16 really sums that up. There's a reason why it's probably the most popular verse in the world. It is because it does such a wonderful job in one verse. So John 1:1 tells us all about God and who he is and who Jesus is. John 3:16 tells us about his love for his creation, especially for man, and the gift of giving his son. But if we could see how this happens, John chapter 1, verse 11 says he came unto his own and his own received him not. Now that's what we see happen right here. Jesus came to his own. Now, is that humanity? Well, yes, it is. But it's specifically the nation of Israel, the Jewish people. That is who he comes from. So he comes to his own, but his own received him not. But, verse 12, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood. Remember we were talking about hereditary kings and hereditary priests? It doesn't matter what family you were born into. It doesn't matter what color your skin is. It doesn't matter what continent you grew up in. It doesn't matter what you were taught as a child. If you will receive Jesus, as many as receive him, he will give you the power to become a son of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And I love that verse because there's not a one of us here today that was born based on our own will. Every one of us was born based on our parents' will. Every single one of us, right? But he says that we can be born again, once again, not of our own will, but of our parents' will, if we will receive the one who Israel rejected and believe on his name. And he says you'll be born of the Spirit as a result of that. So, fantastic verses of Scripture. John has tons of underliners. I guess I'd have to say it's probably my favorite gospel. I love the book of John. And so, any thoughts, questions about John? You're reading of